Hi, my name is Martin Purnell, and welcome to Off-Grid Christianity, a weekly podcast for those who go or don't go to church and for those that are disillusioned. On today's Off-Grid Christianity is a gentleman who one minute was a conductor on trains and the next minute singing on songs of praise. His album Ancient Roads led to gigs in the UK, South Africa and California. So why did he start a festival for music and art called True North? Why did he start painting with oils, which has led to commissions? What's happened to the Paul Murphin Band? Gives me great pleasure to talk to Paul Murphin. Hi, Paul. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Where are we speaking?
Hi, Martin.
Where are we speaking to you from, sir?
You're speaking to from my music room in Knaresborough, North Yorkshire.
Hey. And for those that are trying to place an accent, they're going to say, "Oh, he sounds very Yorkshire." Is that right?
That's right. I'm originally from Sheffield, around the Barnsley area.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I've had to work on my accent a bit, move into a posh area with Harrogate.
Well, if you're from Sheffield, Barnsley area, which football team do you support?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have been to Hillsborough many times with my team.
Great stadium.
Yeah, it's Right, sir, if you're ready.
Ready.
Fingers on the buzzers, no conferring. Five questions coming your way. And for those that want to contact us afterwards, you're more than welcome to. Our email address is OGC. That's OGC at accessradio.biz. And biz is spelt B-I-Z. Question number one then, young Paul. If you could invite anybody from history for an evening meal, alive or dead, so that you could ask them questions, who would it be?
My mum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good, interesting answer. Yeah.
Well, she, without getting too dour straight away, but she passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But she was a real inspiration to me and my faith, you know, and so I'd love to sit down with her and see what she thinks of it all at the minute.
Do you know what? That's a great answer. In all my years of doing this question, no one's ever said that before. That's brilliant. Yeah, excellent. Question number two. Who is your favourite biblical character or your favourite biblical story or your favourite parable, please, Paul?
Well, I'm going to go with Peter today.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was this guy that, I don't know, especially seemed very quick to commit and jump in both feet.
Yeah.
Not necessarily understanding what he was leading himself into, and but simple faith and a humble guy, that was shown with his crucifixion. You know, when he didn't want to be crucified like Christ. You know, so I think I'll go with Peter.
Yeah, very good answer. Very good answer. Now we've had Peter before. Just saying.
But... Yeah, I imagine. Yeah,
but not your mum. Question three. If you were Prime Minister for the day and could change any law or impose a new law, what would it be?
I think just for the day, it'd buy a coffee for someone you don't know.
Oh, that's a lovely answer. That's not exactly political. That's a great thing.
And see where it ends up.
Yeah, no, exactly. Any type of coffee in particular?
An independent one.
Yeah, that's a great note. Do you know what? That is a fantastic answer because you can just see where it would go, as you say. You just don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It has to be for somebody you don't know as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Question four. Outside of family events, what has been your most enjoyable day out to date, Paul?
I'm gonna come straight in with the band there, I think, because it was when we were touring California. So I think it was we got to play on a main stage. It's called Joshua Fest in California. So we were really excited, and we were supporting like David Crowder, and there are a few other big names out there. And it was just an absolutely fantastic day. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, wow.
It was really, very nice and sunny as well.
Many people there?
I think there are around 5,000, something like that, which might be classed as a small event for American.
Big over here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the size of an indoor arena sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good indeed. Fantastic.
Yeah, good fun.
Yeah. Question five, then. What has been your most embarrassing moment to date?
Yeah, well, it's best to just go with the first thing you think of, I think, isn't it? I remember doing a concert at the school leavers, and we were leaving school, and I was supposed to be known as this, you know, decent guitarist. And for the life of us, we couldn't get the guitar working. Oh. And all the sound men were pulling their hair out. I were in. And then about 10 minutes in, we realised I'd not plugged my guitar in.
Hooray!
The lead was hanging from my guitar and I'd not plugged it in.
Excellent.
And that was in front of all. And you know, when you're a young lad and, you know, embarrassment comes, you know, in front of, I don't know, 200 of you, your farm.
Yeah,
teachers laughing at you, you know. So,
but then you did a blistering guitar solo and that shut them up.
Oh, yeah, I made up for it, I'm sure.
Well, that is a great answer. And I'm sure there are plenty of people that said, yeah, been there.
Yeah, oh, there will be. Yeah, lots of musicians. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing at this end, isn't it? You should sometimes remember to switch the microphone on. You know, that would help.
Yeah, that's it.
Great. Well, I've got a better understanding of you now, Paul. I mentioned right at the very beginning about those three words that make up a TV series called Songs of Praise.
Yeah.
1 minute you're a train conductor. So, first of all, just give us an example of what it must be like to be a Christian as a train conductor. What's the job like?
Well, the job, it's a great job, and I love the railway. You know, it's I know there's a lot happening at the minute, but it is a great career, and you've definitely got to become a people person. I remember I was probably quite shy when I first joined the railway and found it difficult to communicate. But that, you know, you're thrown in it, you know, feet first. And 1 minute you're telling the fare evader to get out of the toilet and pay the fare. And then next minute you could be talking to business people and helping them with the connections. So it's, you know, you're meeting the whole range of all different types of people in a metal cylinder, you know. So it's a great job, yeah.
And of course, I think you told me before we went on air that you're on the Northern Line. So, yeah. You know, how many hundreds of miles do you cover on a particular train journey?
Well, I'm actually I used to be based in Leeds, but now I've been in Harrogate for the last 16 years, and it's just a small branch line from York to Leeds via Harrogate. So it's quite a pretty line. We don't get a great deal of trouble on it. You know, it's generally a lot of tourism on it. Yeah. So it's, but I reckon miles wise, I don't know. What is it from Leeds to York? You're probably talking, I don't know.
40 miles?
Yeah, I was going to say 40 miles.
40 miles. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's nice to know there's still my day would have been called a branch line, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, a little branch line. Yeah, it's great.
So that's what you did then. You said you're part time. But I did mention the Songs of Praise bit. So what happened for you to get onto Songs of Praise?
Yeah, well, it started. I really felt that there's, you know, the story of a meeting the Holy Spirit, but I really felt that I were being convicted to start playing for Him. And I wanted to do it outside a church environment. So I started to play at Nero's, Cafe Nero's, which is in Harrogate, and it's a big Nero's, two floors. And so I went to speak to the manager of Nero's, and I just asked, you know, could we do some music, a music evening upstairs? And he says, well, we don't have music here. But I really thought, no, this is right. So I said, oh, well, can we? Can we start it for the first time? And he said, I can't see why not. So let's go for it. Wow. And they're really supportive. The staff bit stayed out later. And it was just fantastic. And we used to fill the Cafe Nero's. People couldn't get in the building. It was that busy. and it was just me and a couple of guys playing instruments, and I'd sing the songs that I'd wrote about my faith, and then we'd get non-Christian artists in as well, and they'd play. And it turned out that there was a Songs of Praise journalist in the crowd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were just there because they'd heard about it. And then she came up afterwards and just said, I'd really like to pitch what you're doing and the railway and to Songs of Praise. So I thought, yeah, that's great. And then I got an email from Songs of Praise. Yeah, did a series, and I think it had Ruby Turner on as well. She was in Birmingham mm-hmm. train station singing gospel.
She can sing.
She can sing. Yeah, she can. She can really sing. She's a singer.
Yeah, she just.
Yeah, and then came up to Yorkshire and filmed us singing and doing worship in the main concourse at Harrogate Station.
Wow.
It's been fantastic, because when I said the worship, the type of music that I were playing in them days were like your old American, you know,
I saw
the light and all that type of music. So everyone quickly really enjoyed it. So, yeah, it was great.
Yes,
so that was the first time I went on Songs of Praise.
Now, I was going to say, because the second time, I think I saw you a few months ago.
Yeah.
And this is two Paul Murphins that have been on Songs of Praise.
Ah, yes, yes.
Is there only one Paul Murphin as we sing at football chants?
I think so. I think there is on Songs of Praise, yeah.
So the second time you were on Songs of Praise was because of?
Well, last year during COVID, the year before, I was really missing communion. And we got to a point where we could go outside, so I stuck within the rules. But I decided I wanted to go and do communion down by St. Robert's Cave.
It was you.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So I went down and we started to do communion. And it was all at the beginning, I thought it was just for me. I just wanted to go down, do communion by myself.
Yeah.
But then Nicola, my wife, so we started to go together. And then people just heard about it, because in my mind, I didn't want it to become an ism or something. I just wanted it to be what I wanted to do. I didn't want it to be church or another new thing for people to come to.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in that. But as the word got out, a few people came. And having that in mind, my views, it ended up going on BBC Songs of Praise, which I was trying to keep it quiet. But but I know the Lord had other things for it. But and how that happened was, I was just working the train from York, and then I heard this voice shout, "Hello, Paul." And I turned round, and it was Songs of Praise director, who I'd met before at the other Songs of Praise. And it turned out he's a train spotter.
Oh. So
he was having a day out just on trains. And he said, I don't know if you can help us, but we're going to do a programme on St. Robert from Knaresborough. I said, oh, that's really interesting, because I've just started doing communion there. Yeah, I'll point you in the right direction. He says, well, better than that. He says, can we film you do communion?
Yeah.
In Songs of Praise. It just shows that, you know, it's still being used. It's still, you know, it still offers, you know, what it always has.
Unfortunately for me, whilst I remember you standing outside the cave, I can't remember a single thing about St. Robert other than he was a really good bloke. So,
yeah.
So please fill in the missing. Please fill in the missing blanks.
Yeah. So he was the brother of the mayor of York. And he was on the run from the king. The king wanted him dead, so he came to Knaresborough and lived as a hermit. I think he was offered the abbey to go on into the monastery in York, but he turned it down because he wanted to be with the people, and he wanted to live a humble life. So I think he lived in the cave, I believe, for around 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That wasn't recently, by the way. How many hundred years ago was that?
Oh, I don't know.
A long time.
I'll have to look it up, but yeah, a long time ago. But they talked about people used to come to him for healing. And so he used to, you know, take them to the river and pray for healing. So, yeah, so it's a wonderful place. I mean, I love to visit the Holy Island, the St. Cuthbert, we've got it here in Knaresborough. I thought, well, you know, let's go down there.
So how far is Knaresborough then from the Holy Island?
Oh, you're probably talking 2 hours. Yeah. 2 hours drive. Yeah. 2 hours south, yeah.
Because the number of people I know that have been to Lindisfarne and the other islands in the area, you know, they say it's an amazing place to get away from it all and start praying.
Yeah, I'll go about twice a year if I can.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd you go with?
My wife. Yeah, Nicola. So, yeah, it's really good.
That sounds fantastic. So there we go. Songs of praise, twice. Mm. It's a bit like a Blue Peter badge. You'll be getting one soon. Yeah. Get a hat trick on there. but we've already mentioned that you've got the Paul Mervin band, and the fact you've gone to America. And can I just say, because for those who don't know, I used to be quite heavily involved in contemporary Christian music way back some time ago when I was on in the radio show. And you hear those that mean well. Those are actually quite good. Yeah. And then it sort of gets really narrow as to how many really are good.
Yeah.
And when I first looked at yours, I didn't know what to expect. Wow. Yeah. For someone that like me who doesn't really appreciate country and western the way I should, I was like really, really impressed with the video quality, the sound quality. Yeah, it's really good. So tell me more about your band, please, sir.
Yeah. Well, That started that. I really felt that the Holy Spirit were calling me to. I've always played music, but it was time to play for Him, you know.
Especially when you remember to plug it in, of course.
That's it. And so I started to write songs, and I just felt inspired to write, and I just couldn't stop really writing. And I got a band of guys together. Two Christian lads, and we started playing, and it moved really quick. But then they decided to leave because they were a lot younger than me, and they were looking at having kids. And it were, you know, they just thought, well, we can't go where you're going, Paul. And they're wonderful lads, and we're still, you know, in contact. And then I was playing with a load of non-believers in a pub on a Wednesday night. Well, when I say non-believers, I didn't really know their views. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's a Christian term, isn't it? But I really felt that they were the guys that were supposed to be in the band. And so I asked them, do you fancy it? And they were just like, yeah, of course. You know, they'd seen us and they'd love to, you know. So we started writing together. I had to battle with that, and I prayed about that because, you know, I had a few people say to me, well, you know, they're not Christians, you know. We played at Creation Fest, and someone said it, you know, well, should they be on stage? They're not Christian. I think I probably went red and looked quite furious, but I just, you know.
This is a conversation that comes up so many times.
Yeah.
It's a question of how far do you want to place it? It's like you might be a Christian singer, for instance. You know, and all of a sudden you need a backing band and you need orchestra. Now, are you going to go through the whole London Philharmonic Orchestra and say, oh, I can't play with you, can't play with you? You know, you might be down just to the tuba player, which isn't going to help, really, is it?
Yeah. So, these guys that are performing out, they're incredible musicians.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really blessed that they play with us, with me. But obviously, the lyrics to my music and everything that we do is we play in pubs and clubs and festivals a lot more than we play in churches. So, because that's where the Lord showed me where I was supposed to be. So, and the lyrics and the music can be interpreted in in many different ways, you know. So so they've enjoyed it all, and you know, going to Christian events, and they're so open, these lads, you know. And it turned out that once we got speaking, I remember John the violinist saying to me, "Oh, Paul, can I have a word with you?" And he said, "You know, I brought up a Catholic," and you know, and then the guitarist had a word, "Oh, Paul, can I have a word with you? Just to let you know, I used to go to an evangelical church, and I've always felt that, like, joining this band now, it's like God isn't letting me go, even though I'm not a believer as such, you know." So they've all got their own stories which came out. So it's, you know, it's fantastic.
I remember hearing the story back in, because in America you've got so many hundreds of radio stations and TV stations and so forth. One of the big wigs always said that he'd only employ non-Christian sound engineers, right? And the reason for it was because he believed they're more professional in their outlook on how they did the job. But also, he said, when they have to listen day in, day out, and then go back and edit everything, you know, if they can't get the message by the end, you know, there's something seriously wrong. So, you see, that's fantastic.
But, you know, it's been a lot, and, you know, even when we shoot music videos, you know, it's been really interesting, the talks that we have, you know, about Christ and faith. It's just all the time. And these aren't Christians. You know, these are just people that want to talk about it. And we did a pub in a gig a while ago, a gig in a pub even, a short while ago. And we were playing and we were singing. We did some, you know, some, you know, like American gospel music. And people came up to me afterwards and says, "What were that about?" It was just unbelievable, the atmosphere. And there were a girl in tears. And she they were just, they says, "We've not heard this before." It's like, this is in a pub. You know, and they were just, they said the words, "Tell me what they mean. Tell me what they're about," you know. So that's where I feel most comfortable, is in that space.
Well, considering that, you know, we're talking about what, from the first time you appeared on Songs of Praise, what, 2016 was it, something like that? And then look at this, what's happened. As I said earlier on, and I genuinely meant it, you know, the quality of your videos. Fantastic, absolutely brilliant. I mean, there's one there in the fishing port.
That's right, that's in Staithes in Yorkshire.
That's
it,
because I saw the name of the pub in the distance. I thought, oh, I've got to find where it was. If I'd only, if I'd only waited to the very end of the shoot of the video, it sort of says anyway. But, you know, that must have cost thousands. So how did you get it produced?
Well, I'll tell you, the guy that filmed that also filmed The Fighter, which is one that we've done. And I knew that when I wrote it, I knew there'd be a music video made for it, but I didn't know anybody that would do that type of thing. But we did a gig in a working men's club, and it were rough. You know, it's, you know, it's really good. You know, they're all hammered and running around having a laugh, you know, and we started singing "Praise the Lord, I saw the light," you know, and all this. And they all started joining in and singing. And then I sang The Fighter because I'd just written it. And when I put my guitar down, a filmmaker approached me and said, "What's that song about?" So, and I said, "Well, you know, typical artist answer. What do you think it's about?" He says, "No, what's it about?" So I said, he said, "Is it about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because it's it says there's one of you and three of me, you know." And it says, is it a Trinitarian reference? And I said, "Yeah, it is." He says, "Well, you know what? I love the song." He says, "And I want to make a video for it, very high standard video, at no charge."
What?
"And we'll get all the actors, and I'll sort it all out because I love the song so much." So that happened. And then he also made This Train's Bound for Glory video, and the one that you've just referenced, the Osman one. And he'd had an interesting brush with faith himself, as in with the church. He used to be like one of the main engineers or lighting for media for Spring Harvest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he'd not been to church for many, many years. So we had a good talk about faith.
Wow.
I actually met him today, actually.
Did you?
For the first time in about 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing very well. He's doing very well. He's a happy chap.
Well, I have to say, if just so that people see that I'm not talking rubbish, the videos you can find on YouTube as well, can't you?
Yeah.
And it's the Paul Murfin Band. Murfin is spelled M-I-R-F-I-N for November. Just type in Paul Murfin Band and you'll see the Oarsman, you'll see the Fighter, and this Train's Bound for Glory, which is a good laugh.
It is. That will. I should have chose that for my most favourite day, actually.
Really? Why?
Well, it was fantastic. You know, I mean, I'm not a train spotter, but I do appreciate a good steam engine. So we had the steam engine. We got a driver in. He, you know, this would have cost a ridiculous amount of money. So we got the steam train in. We got all the staff came in. We got the girls came in to do all the dance. We made, you know, buns, and we just had such a fantastic time. And it's such a fun song as well.
Right. So where did you get the dance company from?
So that's to do with my wife.
Ah.
She said, would you like some dancers in your video? So I said, yes, please.
She runs a dance. She's a lecturer in dance, isn't she? So she obviously has contacts.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Right, who was the lady singer in that?
She's called Rosie. Yeah, and she actually gave her life to Christ as well.
Oh, wow.
Just after singing on the songs.
Really?
Yeah.
She can sing?
Oh, she's a brilliant voice.
Yeah.
A bit of Dolly Parton.
Yeah. No, that's it's a brilliant video. And that and so that cost you absolutely nothing again then to make?
A bit more than nothing, but not...
Yeah, but...
but affordable.
Affordable. That's a great answer. So how, from these videos, and seriously, I strongly recommend everyone to go and look at them, because they're that good, and the music goes really well with them as well. You ended up in doing a mini tour in California. So how did that come about, Paul?
Yeah, well, I've always been a big fan of David Crowder. I really like his music, and you know the stomp and the rock and the guitars and the big beards and all this, you know. And I got to see him in Philadelphia, and I was just blown away by watching him. You know, it really had a profound effect on me, really, musically. So, and then I heard he was touring and he was playing at this event, so we just contacted the Joshua Fest organisers and said, we're a UK band, here's our music, please can we come along? And they checked us out and looked on, and they said, yeah, pleasure to have you. I think we found out we were on the main stage while we were over there, so that were quite exciting. And so we just went on a tour. We went to San Francisco and we played there. But one of the locals actually said, he said, oh, you're a Christian band. I said, well, you can call me that. And they said, oh, you're very brave, playing in San Francisco. But, we played there, and then we headed north. We played at a ranch, a guy's house. And then, we did a bit of a tour, and it was fantastic. And then the South Africa, that was... That was through the song The Fighter again. I don't know if you know Angus Buchan. Have you heard of Angus Buchan? He's a South African evangelist with a cowboy hat.
Vaguely, but that's about it.
Yeah, an older gentleman, but he I was asked to do the worship for the Angus Book and Mighty Men. It's an event that was in Pateley Bridge. And they said, would you be the worship leader? And I thought, I need to stand with where I feel God's put me. So I said, no, I can't, because I'm not a worship leader in that sense.
Yeah.
I said, but I do write songs. And they said, all right. They said, thank you very much for standing what you feel that the Lord's told you to do. Well done, you know. Because it is quite a privilege to be asked to play at that event. You know, there's a lot of people there. So anyway, they looked me up anyway, and they said, we really like you to play that one song anyway. So I wrote the song, The Fighter. And it, because it was a men's event, I wrote this quite manly song. You know? So I thought, anyway, I played it. And it went down really, really well. And then I was asked to come to South Africa to play it there with Angus Buchan's group of lads. So we went over there and we had a fantastic time. And we played in a few churches, and we played for Angus's family. And then the actual event was called Sacred Assembly. I reckon there were probably 30,000 people there.
Wow. Like that,
at least, yeah. We had a fantastic time. And I've got to know him, actually. So he's, a great guy.
I'd say what's really interesting to hear was the fact that you turned down to be the worship leader. And if I can give an advert out for a podcast I did a month ago with Brian Houston, who is a worship leader and songwriter, and like yourself, goes into pubs and clubs over here as well. He, on the podcast, gives his opinion as to what he thinks about not just songwriting, but those that want to become praise and worship leaders, well worth having a listen. And I think he would give you 10 out of 10 for your attitude there, because at the end of the day, you know, whilst you like the idea of the flashing lights that might be on you, which is another story altogether, you know, it's not about you at the end of the day. It's about what God wants you to have.
Exactly. And like the most, the scripture that's really been, really spoken to me over these couple of, you know, these few years of doing all this is John 3:30, which is, we decrease and he must increase, you know.
Yeah.
So, and when you're in that, with worship leading and all that, and you're flashing lights and everything else, we have to humble ourselves, you know. And I wrote a song called Nothing, which has got a nice video as well that you could. But it's just about becoming less, you know, so that we can be used more, you know, like we're a lump of clay, so he can mold us into what he wants.
Yeah. You know? Well, let me throw something out to you then in light of the Brian Houston podcast as well. We talk about, or he talks about, should I say, about dying to self.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah, that's, when things come your way and you know, you can get really excited and you can almost, you know, you put on a pedestal or whatever, or people are saying, oh, come and do this with us, or do this, or, you know, it has to be given over to him, and all glory goes to the Father. All glory goes to him. You know, and sometimes that's easier than other times, you know.
Isn't it just?
But if we can thank him in everything we do, and I like people to be able to see that they know my faith. It's pretty, it's out there. It's very obvious. And that's how I want it. And so that he gets, you know, the glory for it all.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fair to say, I suppose, from about 2015. No, up until 2015, nobody outside of Knaresborough or Harrogate or the railway line would have heard of you. From 2016 onwards, whoosh, And yet you still find time to do a thing called True North.
Yeah.
As a festival. What was all that about?
That were another thing where I went to in Turkey, the site that you can go to.
Ephesus. Yeah.
And as I was walking, I asked, you know, like a pilgrimage kind of thing. I'm asking the Lord, I says, you know, speak to me while I'm here. And, mm-hmm. you know, but when I got in my van after I'd been there, I thought, oh, well, I looked out the window and driving along, I thought, well, you've not really spoke to me there. And I thought, I feel a bit disappointed. But then I felt just a gentle whisper. I had an image as well of the library in Ephesus, which has got the pillars, you know. Mm. It's the main building, I guess, you'd recognise. And it looks just like the Royal Hall in Harrogate. And I thought, I need to do something there. And when I came back, I went down to the Royal Hall and I saw the pillars and I saw the library in Ephesus. And I said, well, it's too big. You know, I've never done anything like that. I've done Nero's and that, but I've never done that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I felt like I was whooshed up into the sky and I looked down and this Royal Hall was just a little dot, you know. And he said, well, that's the size of it for me. You know, it's not. So I said, right. So I wanted it to be an event. I wanted it to be a free event, a quality free event for people that couldn't afford to go to theatre normally.
Okay.
Because, you know, my family, we couldn't afford, you know, to, you know, five people, you know, that's so much ahead. You know, it was a bit of a no-go, really. It was not easy. So I went to see the organiser and I went into the reception. I said, I'd like to, you know, have a look around here about coming to an event. They said, oh, which event are you thinking? I said, no, to actually start an event. So the lady took me round and she says, well, we don't. She says, this is it. And I said, yeah, this is the place. They says, we don't do free events. She says, because, you know, the logistics and all, ticketing and all sorts of things. I says, well, I says, really like it to be a first free available event to local people. And they said, well, go away and we'll think about it. And it came back and they said yes. So, it's the first time. The acts came along and we had, with help from my wife, you know, like dance teams. We've had local artists all in the foyers. They were displaying all their art. And then we had us playing as well. They were absolutely fantastic. So we did it 3 years in a row, and it's called True North. We stopped because of COVID, but we'll see what happens there, you know. I try and be very fluid, and I follow... I go with the flow.
But sometimes if God hasn't said stop, then you just keep going as well, don't you? So maybe after COVID, you should still keep going. Do you know what? Yeah. That's a real encouragement to those that are listening today. Mm. Thinking, well, if Paul can do it in Knaresborough, and I'm not dissing you, why can't someone who's listening today say, I'm going to do the same sort of thing? Go and tell the truth. Go and speak to the local council. See what comes on board.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is brilliant.
There were about 900 people came.
Really?
How many
days event was it?
It was just a one evening on a Sunday evening in October. And we did it three times. Yeah.
Wow. So just one night where you had the foyer for the art, dance and everything else, 900 people turned up.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I knew that, you know, God was in it all. You know, it wasn't our strength. It was just unbelievable how everything worked, you know.
I'm not saying
it weren't stress-free, but we knew that. and we had to raise, because you have to rent the Royal Hall. And it's expensive.
Yes.
So it's thousands, you know. But I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that he'd provide. So I didn't ask anybody for any money at all. And the money was given to the penny.
Really?
Yeah. because I told a few people what I wanted to do.
Yes.
Just a small group of people, just say, this is what I feel has been put on my heart, and this is what we should do. And those people said, right, how can we help? And to the penny, after all the what we needed to pay out and everything, we broke even exactly. And that were each year.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I thought, I don't want to ask anybody for any money.
Yeah.
Because I believe the Lord's put it on me out to do it. So I don't need to ask. So, yeah.
Sounds to me you've got to do it again, Paul.
Yeah. So, that particular time, I had strong faith in that one. You know, it's
maybe not so much at the moment.
It's up and down, isn't it? You know, we can't pretend that it's, you know, you're constantly, you know, a solid rock, you know.
Yeah. Wow. That's it. It's all very well for me to say, I think you should go for it again, Paul. But it's up to you. Because God might be saying, no, not yet, Paul, not yet. Just wait a bit longer. Martin doesn't know what he's talking about. In brackets, as usual, close brackets.
Yeah, someone said to me, well, you know, we carry on. Has he told you not to do it? You know?
No, exactly.
That's it, so, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't told you, I think I said that earlier on. Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah,
absolutely, he hasn't told you to stop. Oh, you've got some praying to do, sir. Bringing you up to date then, just when you thought, you know, this could be you could be the next Harvey Goldsmith doing production work and everything else like that, you've changed tack a bit.
Yeah.
Tell me more about your painting, please.
Yeah, well, this has been a sidebar. This has been a swing. So when COVID hit, the music, we couldn't gig. And I just really wanted to carry on the creative juices were still wanting to flow. So I remember, I think it's BBC 6, was it BBC 4? Where, you know, Bob Ross, he paints pictures, the happy clouds, he's got a beard and he...
Excuse me, if it's not rock music...
Maybe I've read this, I don't know.
If it's not rock music and it's not Bristol City Football Club.
I was just getting inspired by this guy and I thought, well, I'll buy some oil paints and I'll give it a go. So I did that during lockdown. I just started painting and painting and painting and painting, and it was just mainly railway infrastructure and things like this to start with. And I put a painting, I said, oh, here's my lockdown project, and I just put it on Facebook. You know, here's a picture of it. And someone said, how much? And I went, what? I weren't planning on selling it, but I don't know. So I said, a cheap couple of quid. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll have it if you throw in a vinyl and I'll have it. Went, all right, yeah. So and then I did another, then another, then another, and they just kept selling. It's just, I'm just thoroughly enjoying it now, and it's you know, it's led. I've been doing I call it religious art, but you know, stories from the Bible, and doing my interpretations of it, and challenging art as well. You know, my latest piece is called "I Never Knew You," which is from the Bible, where Jesus, you know, when we get to meet him, says, "I never knew you." You know, and I did a very powerful painting of that that's really strong. So it's still evangelism, but through oils.
Why did you choose oils and not pastels?
I was completely naive. So I googled up, what do the masters use?
Brilliant.
And I'll just do that. So like, oh, William Turner oils, right? Get some oils. So it was as simple as that, really. But I've never used anything else, and I think I'll stick with it.
Yeah,
I love it. You know, it's the texture and squeezing out of the tubes, and lovely stuff. Yeah, to work with.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like you've had commissions as well, I take it.
Yeah, I get plenty of commissions. Yeah, I had three last week. So
wow,
it gave me opportunity to become part time on the railway. So it got to a point where I said, "Well, I think it's time now." So I approached my line manager at work, and he says, "Yeah, I notice you're doing well with your art and your music." And I said, "Yeah, I'd just like to go part time, you know." So that's what I do now. Right. So.
I was thinking, you have to have a line manager in trains, don't you?
You do, yes. Yeah, don't go down that line.
You don't. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So do I take it then that you actually specialising in particular part of the art world with regard to getting commissions? What is it?
I think people started to buy me art at first because they followed the band. And because I've been on Songs of Praise, things like that, it was just like a natural progression for people to enjoy that. I've been in a gallery. That's been really, really kind of them. And then I've been doing open house. And then also,
what do you mean by open house? What's that?
Open house is where people just come right. You open your house up. You put your art on display and everything. Maybe get some Prosecco and some nibbles and just enjoy it. And, so that works really well because I live right in the town centre of Knaresborough.
Right.
It's easy to get to. So, it's been great.
And then, fantastic.
The railway's been really supportive. They were really supportive with Songs of Praise as well.
In what way?
They just made sure it happened, you know. They got me off my shift. They got people to help. They got the station supervisor. He got really involved just to help out and hand out coffees and make announcements saying Songs of Praise is here, you know.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
So, so they have been great, the railway.
He wasn't the fat controller by a chance, was he?
No, I couldn't call him that. No.
I don't know whether that's PC anymore.
Yeah.
It's almost the tank days.
Yeah. Some of the days.
Yeah. Oh, that is fantastic. Absolutely. So where do we see a Paul Murphin artist or Paul Murphin as a part of the Paul Murphin band? What a coincidence. The name of the band is the same name as you. That's a
That's it, yeah. That's clever, isn't it?
Isn't it, John? What a surprise. What a coincidence. So... Yeah. What are the chances of those happening in 2023? What's going to happen then, Paul?
Yeah, in 2023 we've got some gigs organised. So we're playing in Liverpool and we're playing at a glamp festival. You know, where they are glamping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then we've got two new singles coming out shortly. One's called Devil's Displeasure, which is very bluesy and quite dark, but. It's based around the Robert Johnson at the crossroads.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a more positive spin on it. It's like the opposite.
Oh, know. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. So. And then the next, because I'm quite a big fan of Tom Petty. And
Right, absolutely. The Heartbreakers and then his solo stuff.
Oh, brilliant. So I got to see him just before he died, actually.
Oh, Tom Petty?
Yeah, down in London.
In Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
I got told off, actually, by Vicar. I don't want any more of your music stories, Martin. Okay.
Right.
So I won't talk about Tom Petty. But what I will say, for those that don't understand about the Robert Johnson connection and the Crossroads, it's a myth, isn't it? Or is it?
Yeah. Well, is it?
Is it?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're in a spiritual battle, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, we could call it, you know, blues folklore, I guess.
Yeah, and for those that still don't know what we're on about, what were we talking about here, Paul?
So Robert Johnson was a very average guitarist. He went away and apparently met the devil on the crossroads, sold his soul, came back one of the best guitarists we've ever heard.
Yeah,
in a very short period of time.
Yeah,
and you can listen. You know, his music's out there, but so I wanted to put a bit of a swing on that one. You know, because I felt, you know, when I met the Holy Spirit, you know, he upped my game.
I should look forward to hearing that, and the video will be out as well.
Yeah, we're doing a video. That's going to have a dance video. That's going to be a dance. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
And then the Tom Petty type song. That's going to be the band type video. So it's all exciting stuff.
That's good. And yeah. I'd say what's come over here over this is the fact that you've just been prepared to do whatever God's called you to do.
Yeah.
And you've completely turned around the old adage that we used to hear in the 80s. You know, before I became a Christian, I was doing this, that. And then I became a Christian, I'm not doing anything musically now. Whereas it's complete opposite for you. It's absolutely brilliant. For those that want to know more about you, Paul, how can they find out, sir?
Well, there's the website. So we've got the Paul Murphy Band website. And we're on YouTube and all the rest of them.
Indeed.
Spotify. And then the art, that's all on YouTube, and the website is paulmurphyart.com,
isn't it, or .co.uk?
.com.
Yeah. Those who have been listening today then, Paul, and thought, well, if Paul can do it, I can do it maybe. What would you say to them, in all seriousness?
Yeah, I'd say go into your bedroom, shut the door, get on your knees and pray, and see what... the Lord says, and do what you feel that it you're called to do, you know, and go for it, you know. Because that's the closest times to me with God have been where I've just been on my own in the bedroom, you know, and just, you know, lifted, given everything, you know, and just be broken, you know. And let him guide you all the way.
What do you mean by being broken, Paul?
Well, I were at a point where I needed to be broken. Well, I was broken after a divorce. And in that time, you know, I felt that I needed to go there so that I could be used, you know. And it were there, that's where he lifted me up. I'm not saying that anything wrong with church, but I'm just saying that's where it was. It wasn't at church. It wasn't there. It was me on my own crying out to him in my bedroom, you know. And that just changed everything.
How long ago was that, Paul?
That must have been now. I reckon about 7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because you sort of alluded right at the beginning about your mum. And obviously, being a Christian, would I be right in saying that, you know, it's only been in the past decade or so that you've really got together again with your faith?
Yeah, I've been a Christian all my life. You know, I've been to church all my life.
Yeah,
mainly in evangelical circles, but you know, even to a point where I'd say I spoke in tongues and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But until tragedy hit, I don't know that when I actually met him this time a few years ago, it's like I'd never known him before. And it concerns me that, because I just think, because I thought, you know, I were a worship leader. I did all sorts, you know, led youths and all that. But when I met him, really met the Holy Spirit, it just completely changed, as if I'd never met him before. And it's a very serious thing, meeting the Holy Spirit. And it's not to be taken lightly at all.
No.
And I think in my past it was kind of lightly, oh, Jesus loves me, yeah, it's great. But the Holy Spirit that I met, it was... very, very humbling and very powerful. You know, it was a peace as well that just fell on me, like as if like it were a blanket just fell and rested on me. I couldn't move. And,
yeah.
You know, and there were some serious dealings with going on, you know, over a period of time. Like someone I remember waking up one night and I felt like someone had plunged a red hot javelin into my chest. And they were just like moving around and moving around. And it was just, I was just being thrown around in my bed, you know, at like early hours. And it was just, you know, Holy Spirit was dealing with things. And it's not a light subject, is it? It's very serious. You know, it's because if you brush with the Holy Spirit, even if it's just the slightest of brushes that I, you know, I might consider that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough to completely change your life.
Yeah. Well, I said right at the very beginning, Paul, when I was talking about the Brian Houston interview, how it was just going along, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, during the last 15 minutes, and see what happens. Here we go again with Paul Mervin this time. So something you said, the tragedy. Please tell me more what you meant by the word tragedy.
Well, it was the divorce that I was going through, and it just completely broke me, you know. But in that, you know, I found God in it. You know, I found the Holy Spirit in it. And it was very, very difficult because, you know, having kids and things like that. But, I just managed, I gave it over to God. And I remember once I got healed as well because I was born without a sense of smell. I've never been able to smell anything.
Oh, really?
I can't recognize smells at all. It's just the way I were. But I met this person who prayed for me to be healed. You know, but I was kind of at that stage. I wasn't really, you know, because I had a time where I stepped away, completely away after I got divorced. So I'm going out every night, getting drunk, just, you know, messing about and all this. That was a bit of a moment when I went to the pub. And this person were praying for me. She lived down south. And I lift this pint of beer to me mouth. And I got a whiff of it was like a citrus ale. And I'd never smelled anything before. And I said to my mate, who was an atheist, I said, does that smell citrusy then? He goes, yeah, that's like a citrus. And I said, well, I burst into tears in pub because I'd realised I'd been healed, but. Right. And then, but when I look at it now, and you know, so I'll give my testimony about being healed and things. But really, to me, that's great. But it was the healing that really started to happen. You know, I think that was just like a token or something. But it was everything else that started to heal. That was much bigger. You know, much more important to me. That the heart was healing, the body were healing. You know. I started leaving drinks on the. I'd go to Tesco to buy some cans of beer, and I remember just removing my hand off the cans and saying, feeling that I need to go and write a song. So I'd go back and I'd write a song instead of having a drink. And these were big things, yeah.
Wow. As you know, it's called Off Grid Christianity. I know plenty of people that listen who are going through divorce or the divorce is round the corner, you know, and they've been involved in church of their life, which I think you've been alluding to one way or the other. Mm. And yet, you know, you ended going through divorce as well. What would you say to people who are in that position at the moment?
I'd say, pray, draw close to God, you know, even though it's really difficult, you know. And just, you know, have faith in him that he'll uphold you and keep you in his arms, you know, and he will. But sometimes we have to fall to be used, you know. Sometimes we have to drop. And some of us drop further than others. But, you know, God, you know, if we reach out, God will grab us where we're at and lift us up, you know, and use us and... it gives you purpose.
Look, what's happened to you as a result of that, you know?
Yeah.
It's incredible what God's doing through you. It's amazing.
Mm. Mm. And I had some real spiritual attacks as well, you know. Mm. Demonic attacks I've had in the past, but, you know, as those worsened and things, and I saw things, but my faith were getting stronger and stronger, so you could deal with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Sounds to me as if you've got plenty of material for a new album, not let alone a couple of singles.
Yeah, we've got plenty. I think we'll just put all our singles together and call it album number two.
Good title. Yeah. Paul, it's been a brilliant time listening to you. Thank you very much indeed. This has been a BCSC production, by the way. As I said, if you want to get hold of us, it's ogc@accessradio.biz, and biz is spelled B-I-Z. If you want to get hold of Paul, just Google Paul Murfin, Murfin spelled M-I-R-F-I-N, and you'll either go to his art page or you go to the Paul Murfin band page. All that's left for me to do now, Paul, having already said thank you to you, is to ask you to tell me who your Christian hero is. And the basis of it is the person has to be dead and not in the Bible, so that we can't be accused of, oh, do you remember when you chose such and such? Look at him now or her now. So, yeah. Paul Murfin, who is your Christian hero?
I'm going to go with Billy Graham for now.
I've heard of him. Why? Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, I got to see him when he came to Sheffield.
Yeah.
At Sheffield United ground, Bramall Lane.
Been there.
My pastor at the time, he was a singer-songwriter as well, but he didn't wear a flat cap, but he got to play on the stage and meet Billy Graham, who I was most jealous with.
How long ago was this? Mission England 85?
Yeah. And our Big Daddy were there, who were a massive fan. I love Big Daddy.
Oh, really? Yeah, Shirley Crabtree.
That's him, yes. So I got to say hello to Big Daddy.
Oh, wonderful.
Cliff Richard were there.
Yeah.
But I was just up there, and quite a few of my cousins and that, they all went down to the front. And I just thought, well, God's on this guy, because he didn't say anything complicated whatsoever. He just came out with a gospel. And thousands of people just went down.
Wow.
And it was just inspiring just to see it, thousands of people. I know he admits himself that many of them probably fell away, they probably did. But I think just as a man of God, I think he was a special guy.
Good choice, Paul. Paul Murfin, thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure.